love you, baby, I love you. Aretha Franklin starts off the show today on this 19th of July in the year 2022. This is your host, the one that loved you the most. The one, hey, I'm giving a toast right now. A toast to you, my friends, that believe in me and trust in my wisdom, trust in my words. I'm glad that you can join me for today's webcast on the 19th of July. I hear the world is burning up. End it up, Aretha. Baby, I love you. Aretha Franklin opens up my show. Listen, I want to talk with you, not in the abstract, but in the real. When did we start hearing about global warming? Isn't it something? I turned on the news today, and then practically all of Europe is burning up. All the United States is burning up. We've had years like that before. This isn't anything new. It's the same old game, the same old thing. Same old things are going on. The shootings that are going on in this country are preposterous. It just actually blows my mind. I'm waiting on my surgical date. My surgical date is the 26th. I haven't told most of you that listen in because I haven't done a webcast in over 10 days. I've been silent. I haven't been saying anything on the studio mic. There's not too much to say. I'm trying to seek love, and it seems like I'm trying to get it all from the wrong places. maybe it's just that most people I know don't know how to dispense love. They don't know how to orchestrate it. They're looking for, you know, there was a song, what was the name of it? It's called I'm Looking for a Love. Whoa, whoa, I'm looking here and there. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking for a love of my own. You know what I mean? And I've come to realize that as much as I tried to disregard that from my aging body and my prehistoric mind, is that I'm still looking. I'm still looking. And if you're anything like me, you know that it is an egregious, serious look. Yes, looking for someone to love me now. Can you believe it? There is so little of it in the world today. Between the red states and the blue states, doesn't matter. The heat wave is permeating the whole country, just making a fit out of us. This is what it's doing, and to tell you the truth, it's normal during the summer months, but it is a little warmer because of global warming. I do believe in the science. I am not, as the crazy Republicans, not believing in science. I believe in the science, but I believe that we as humans, we don't care. We're still murdering each other in droves, and there's more and more shootings taking place. People just going to places, shooting them up. The last one is in, where was it? I forget where it is. Somewhere, this 20-year-old goes into a mall, 20-year-old white boy goes into a mall, kills four people, a citizen that's shopping in the mall that has a permit to carry, takes out his pistol, and kills him. And you know what I love about this guy that shot him? He will not do interviews with anyone. He does not view himself as a hero, anything like that. He's a regular human being. When he sees someone doing something wrong, he knows how to alleviate the problem. Not like the cowardice, and I mean cowardice. Let's talk about that Texas mass shooting, right? I haven't really filled you in on that since that happened. The debauchery of policemen. You're supposed to, you know what? I wanted to be a cop. That's right. Right after I moved in this house, I told Lucy, I said, I think I'm going to sign up Captain Grassley, who is my commanding officer at Supply Division, LAPD Supply Division in Los Angeles, came down to the warehouse one day. I was working at my post, shipping police supplies all over the city to the various stations. That was my job. And he came down and he said, John, I've been looking at your record from personnel. You don't have a police record. You've never been in jail. You've never been caught with dope, even though I smoked marijuana prior to me getting married. After I got married, I stopped smoking and drinking and doing all of that. And I have to admit, that's why I'm healthier today, because I did not do that. This afternoon, and it's almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm having a little taste of red wine. I don't feel like eating anything. I just ate a bowl of cereal. That's it. I'm keeping it down to the nitty gritty. But Grassley came down and he said, you'd make a fine policeman. And he said, I'll recommend you if you want to sign up. He was a captain in the LAPD. He was white. Didn't bother me. At that time, I didn't know all of the idiosyncrasies of what people are today. Because if you're a policeman, it doesn't mean you're Superman. It doesn't mean that you're the moral expert of all the things. But that's what I believe back in the day when I was a younger man, because we didn't have all of this thinking out loud about ourselves, you know. We just didn't do that. But anyhow, I came home and I shared the information with my wife, and she immediately told me, she said, no, John, you would get you and your partner killed if you were in a black and white unit. And I asked her why she said that, and she said, because you love your kind too much. See, she knew me. She knew I love black people, and I wouldn't go out there with a gun trying to shoot them down because my compadres in my car felt that it was appropriate to shoot them down. See, over the years, I've grown up to develop a mindset that, how can I say it? What helps me weigh every situation. Weighing situations is very important before you make a decision to do anything. You must know the in and outs of it. That's why after becoming a college professor, I really appreciated that, teaching philosophy, because it brought me into a way to analyze my thoughts before I say them. And what it also did is it taught me how to analyze the thoughts of people that I'm communicating with all the time. Okay? So when you think philosophically about the world that you live in, the things that you do, the things that you agree upon, the things that float your boat, you don't think with anybody else's mind. I find that the people today that live, and I'm thinking about one friend of mine in particular, he's always listening to other people's opinion on the internet. Now, in some cases, that's good. If you're a student of logic and you want to follow, you know, the logician, to see if his logic is appropriate, you have to listen to it repeatedly. But do you listen to people on the internet to solidify your opinion of life? That's the big idea of this webcast. See, I don't think in the abstract. I don't think abstractly. Well, you have to. Well, he said if you think this way, this will happen. No. All of our lives are differently. You can think a particular way, and your life is not going to. All right, let me share something with you. I'm going to share something with you that I've never, ever shared with this audience since this website has been going on in 2002. Never shared this, but I'm going to share it after I play the next song, okay? And then you'll be able to tell whether I'm telling you the truth. Thank you. Davis. If you didn't know who that was, you're part of the millennial age. If you don't know who that was playing that trumpet, and you don't know that was from the album Miles Ahead. And the name of that number was called All Blues. Real nice music. The kind of music that I grew up on. I mean, they got jazz out there today, you know, and impressionist and things like that. But I'm kind of old-fashioned. You know, a young friend told me once, when you die, John Coleman, there's going to be so much that dies with you. And what a wonderful statement when you really think about it. Because when I die, the history of reality dies. I was telling you earlier that I have a young friend of mine that gets most of his information about what is reasonable in the world from the internet. Wow. I recall when I was a kid, and my dad told me, he said, you got to get out and look for a job. Because, see, my dad knew that you aren't going to make it in America by sitting on your ass doing nothing. He knew. That's the way America has always been established, whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. Talking about Asians, look what the poor Japanese suffered. And there are still people that call the Japanese by their racial antagonistic label that was given to them called Japs, J-A-P-S. You really want to make a Japanese person angry at you, call them a Jap. That's like calling a black man a nigger, or calling an Italian a wop. Okay. I was listening to K-Jazz, the Los Angeles jazz station, yesterday, and the DJ played Lou Rawls singing I'm Going to Chicago. And there was a line in the record where he was talking about his woman, and he said something about a monkey woman like you. And the DJ, after he played the record, kind of went, But you see, back in the day, in the early 60s, when Lou Rawls did that, to call your woman a monkey woman was not, I mean, she just acted like she's from the jungle. But you can't use that language today. You can't. You dare not. You dare not express who you are, what you are, why you are, when you are, ever. Because people in this society are sensitive. That's a word. That's the word. Because, see, John Coleman, even when he was pastoring a church, I was not sensitive to the people. I was only sensitive to the God of the Bible that I preached. Boy, that's a good way to put it. I'm so glad they have these recording devices because they can record this. This can go up on my website, and it's in the world for human history to hear. I was thinking clearly. I've never needed anyone to think for me. I never needed a hero to follow. Ever. Oh, I've always been intrigued by men and women that had a way of communicating beyond the masses. What I mean by that is that the average intelligentsia span of human beings in this colonized prison is about maybe the sixth grade. And if you try to take someone beyond a sixth grade education in terms of language, language is a good one. Because if you can't understand the language, you never will be able to understand the person that you're communicating with. Let me see something here.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Now sing it.
Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. Here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of a bay.
It again, Otis. Otis
Redding. Yeah. How about that? From the Soul Manifesto, Otis Redding, 1964 to 1970. Can you believe that? Now, here's a modern contemporary of today's music. You be the judge. I like him. Jean-Baptiste from an album called Chronology of a Dream, live at the Village Vanguard in New York City.
When they say the who that, and when they say the who that, when you hit the touchdown, when they say the who that, get the F
John Baptiste on the piano. Thank you, John. I appreciate that music. And I appreciate music coming from a man of his heir, not a man of my heir. Because you see, if he was a man of my heir, I'd love his music then. This man sings and plays from his soul. Wow, I'm 34 minutes into an hour webcast and just now feeling it. Just now feeling it. Let me share something with you. If you cannot take at least an hour out of your day, and try to answer this question. Do other people make up your mind for you? What a rich question. I wouldn't waste an hour of my life sitting here in the studio jiving you. Who makes up your mind that your life is real? Oh, this is beautiful. Because I couldn't do this, I couldn't ask this question from the pulpit when I was a pastor. I dare not ask that question. Because they say, oh, the Lord is, the Lord. I'd stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. That's why I never asked the question when I was behind the pulpit. Because you'll be thinking with someone else's mind, trying to answer me in the abstract. You see, I don't think in the abstract. A lot of people say, what happened to John? He was a fine pastor of a fine church. No, I was living in a world that made sense. You get me? There had to be work produced in order to make money. And I had to get into a job career. I didn't call myself into that job career. I keep telling you people. I tell these young men that I know, I didn't call myself, you know, one of them tries to mock me. Young men try to mock old men. And that's merely an indication that they haven't learned the value of an elder. Or they had piss poor daddies. But that's neither here nor there. And that's just me wagering my opinion. And you know what? I got some new friends of mine that I made that listen to my webcast. And I'm going to put this on Facebook. Listen to today's webcast. I haven't been putting it on Facebook and everything because, and I'm going to put it on my Facebook Messenger. All of my friends will be admonished to listen to today's word. I want to know from those juggernauts, who's thinking for you? Do you think for yourself? Here recently I was communicating with a young man, really young, in his 40s, not quite 40, going to be 40. And he is a national citizen of another country. That's all I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything else. I just want to tell you about what, you know, the proposition was. We were talking, and he was telling me how difficult his life was. And I said, well, obviously your life would be far easier if you were here in America, because here in America, we can think for ourselves. We don't have to wonder if the thought captain is going to get us. And that's what a lot of our churches has become, thought cops. You really want to see a good movie on that? The movie is called 1984. I have it in my DVD collection. Try to rent that movie. See if one of these streaming stations are playing that. And watch it. I have a couch here that wraps around the living room, and I have a big 64-inch screen. I'd love to show you this movie. It was the last movie that Richard Burton starred in before he died. It was a movie that communicates where I personally believe human-governed government, in other words, when humans are placed under the governing rule of other people, the movie plainly points out how they can use you and poison the minds of the entire population. Now, the latest test that went forward on this was COVID. Guess what I received in the mail yesterday? 4 more packets of COVID tests. Now, I took me a COVID test here around the house last week, and I came up COVID clear. Now, I guess I'm supposed to test everybody that comes in my house. There's somebody in my house right now. I guess I should go in the other room and say, test yourself. I don't need some medical board to think for me. I'm not going to embarrass a guest in my house and ask him to stick a thong up his nose and dip it in some chemical, and that'll let you know whether you on the way out. Because about 3 weeks ago, I tested positive and tested myself and didn't have it. Where did it go? It didn't take my smelling away. It didn't. I said, oh, ooh, I tested positive. See, I'm thinking for myself. I said, who else did I tell? I think I told my daughter. I said, one of my daughters, I said, I tested positive. I said, I went to the beach Sunday and I was feeling down that day, and that must have been what it was. Now, if that's what COVID did to me, that COVID is a humdinger. You don't want to catch it. I say to people that get a virus, stay home. Keep testing yourself. Because I live in a different world. The world that I live in has changed. I have to acquiesce to the change. But the world that I grew up in, we never had to take a vaccination in order to walk around outside of our house. Now, when I look at the world that I live in today and see that the whole world is going through that, when I was teaching, see, because the same young man that talks about me mocks my Christian education. See, young people mock what they don't understand. I'm going to tell you guys something. Can I make another statement? A profound one? Every time my family, that means my wife, my children, and I, fell into a predicament, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, emotional, psychological. Whenever I had a dilemma, I opened up. Well, the lady at the Kaiser called me, and I had lost my password, and she said, "You have to answer these three questions." I said, "Okay," and she said, "And I got into the Kaiser way back before I start pastoring," and so she said, "What is your favorite book?" And it just rolled right off my lips, the Bible. And the other question is, what was the name of your first pet? Oh, that's easy, Sugar. Why? Because that was my wife's little poodle, okay? And though I've had a Riding, and I've had a Broman, and I have a Harcourt, my favorite pet was Sugar. And the third question is, what city did you marry in? That's easy. It was the same city that I was born in. It's the same city that I'm in right damn now, Los Angeles. Now, show me how to get on this website and stop playing with my ass. Damn. This new society, everybody's afraid somebody's going to go in and take something. Hell, just tell me you're going to do it before you do it. I'll let you do it. Know what the Bible tells me? The Bible says money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money will make you do bad. That's how come I don't care about it that much. When I have some and I want to explore life, in a way that I have to spend my money. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world that we wouldn't have to expend money for anything? Well, I'll tell you, if it weren't for the corruption of despicable men, we could live in a world such as that. And you wouldn't have to listen to everybody else's opinion. You would listen to a sage. Now, what I plan to have is I'm going to bring a young person in that was born years and years and years after I was born. And when they come in here, I'm going to have conversations such as this. I don't want to turn the mic on unless I'm talking about something that's important. How important is it for any of us? Listen, because they have these talk shows, these blog shows, I was watching one on YouTube where they all sat around a table and they weigh in on an opinion. Some of them are college students, college grads, educated. They know how to, some others are thinking. Some doesn't like the way the other one thinks, and the questions are the things that they raise to contend with their opponent. It's so damn stupid. And then the moderator of the show says, "Well, let's go on to the next person." Just like a leftist. When a leftist can't answer the question adequately, let's move on to the next question. Now, when you ask questions of the right, they don't say, "Let's move on." You know what they do? Watch them on the news. When you ask a question of the right that you disagree with, they just stare at you. Because, see, they made their minds up. This is the way I am, and you can't convince. What are you trying to convince me? Wait a minute. Why would you try to convince anyone not? And this is a proactive question. Why would you try to make anyone leave the position that they're in to come to your position? What do you think you've done? How do you think you've helped them? I told the lady that the Bible was my favorite book because when I first got into the Bible seriously, around 1967 up until the present, nothing that I've read in it, nothing that I've said in it has ever turned against me and made me forbade it in my life. Meaning that if I understand it, and I was a theologue, meaning that I just wasn't a church boy that went to church and listened to a preacher holler and scream and tell me what that meant. I paid about, how much? $40,000 in grad school to justify the meaning of the text. Oh, I better get my duster and clean my studio. I see some dust hanging over a picture frame. I can't have that. As a matter of fact, this entire house needs to be cleaned, and I need to hire a house cleaner to come and clean my house. I think that's what I'm going to do for next week. Because I'm getting older. Though it doesn't sound like it in my voice, I'm getting older, and my body doesn't feel like doing those things. I'm a very hard-headed person. I have to come to the rational belief that I am 78 going on 79. Well, let's put it this way. 78 getting ready to knock the hell out of 80. That I need somebody else to come and clean my house. And I need to take some money that I've saved up for a rainy day and have a professional come in and clean my house. Now, the thing is, I don't know whether to do it before I go in for the surgery or after, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my house clean. And you know what offends me? When these pop, squeak, crack, snackle, and pop realtors come by my house. I think my house looks nice. I just painted it green. I got plants around it, rocks in the front. Man, they come around here. They're sending me stuff. I read you. I tear the letters up. They said, we see on the internet your house was built in the 20s, and we'll buy it as it is. You don't even have to clean it up. And you know why they want to do it? To sell this piece of rubble for $100,000 to these young millennials and to these people today that need a shelter over their head. You ask the young man that has frequented my house over the years and stayed here how much rent I charge him. That's how I come against the system. See, everybody's out there shouting and fussing and marching and painting signs pink and yellow and white and bashing out these rich people's storefront windows and taking that bullshit you call jewelry. eat a diamond if you get hungry one day and see what it does for your stomach. Oh, I have a Versace. A what? Oh, my shirt is Gucci. We didn't do that back when I was a young man. When we needed some pants, we went to get some Levi's. When we needed a shirt, now me, I was always, my top shirt had to look, my top deck had to always look better than my bottom deck. Now with the skinny jeans, and I love them. And I remember when skinny jeans first came out, I remember in the church that I was pastoring, the people said, oh, pastor, you can't really, look at these boys with these skinny jeans on. And these boys are sagging. Hell, I didn't care about no boys sagging. Go ahead on. Oh, well, that's a sign that they liked it. Whatever the sign is, that's their life. It's not yours. See what I mean? So if you like the skinny jeans, wear the skinny ones. Why are we apt to listen to other people before listening to ourselves? And what would listening to ourselves do for us as opposed to listening to someone else's standards? I like the way these clothes are designed today, because when there is a perfect, now listen to my words and listen well, because I know some of you are going to try to take me for being some kind of a strange sexist or something like that. You wear clothes that let people see who you are. I like that. I like the concept. You don't wear clothes to cover up. See, that's it. Let's go back. Where did that get started? That got started back at the turn of the 20th century. If a woman had big bosom, she had to make sure she had to cover up. No, let that be seen. To some people, that is a picture of fertility. Mama can make the milk for these babies. It is not wrong for you to think of a mother nursing her son on her body milk. That is not abnormal. There's nothing wrong with that. Before Carnation, Knudsen, and the other milk families, let's see if I can remember them, Arden. What else? They got so many new people in the business, but that's what I remember as a kid. And I thought when I was a kid that every country had milk like that. When I was a kid, I didn't know, listen to this, I didn't know that certain people grew up in the world and did not have a box of Kellogg's Corn Flakes till after I graduated from Fremont High. That's how naive I was. I had no idea that my ancestors were the ancestors of a certain family that was brought over here on a slave ship, tortured and beat. Not as an American black boy growing up, because they didn't have computers and all that free access information. I sure enough wasn't going to go to the library, because they didn't have nothing but books there. And I couldn't see why in the hell I would want to go there looking for anything in a book. That's the way I was raised. Now, you may not tell the truth about your life. I was raised not listening to anybody. I was raised by listening to the soundness that God put in me when he showed me that I didn't need anybody. When I was in the hospital, they brought in a psychologist, and I basically ordered them out of my room. And when my daughters asked me why I did that, I told them, simply put, I've never needed a psychologist, an analyst to analyze my words. I do that now. And I pray, and I mean this, to the Maker, that I remain that way up until the moment that I die. I don't ever want to have to depend upon someone else to make a decision for me. Because when God created this little black boy, he created a perfect specimen. I taught that to my children. I married a woman that believed that. I would not get with anyone that would tell me I am not who I am, and I can't really know until I listen to Dr. Do-Good and his YouTube page. To hell with the page, and to hell with him, and to hell with anyone that ever tries to tell you, you better listen to me and listen good. Think the shit through, all right? I'm being vulgar like this because I'm trying to get you to read between the lines. Think it through, and you won't need anybody else. Analyze it, every aspect of it. what a person says and what a person does accentuates who they are. They can't be anything but that. Now, here's the difficult thing. I started off this webcast saying I needed somebody to love me, right? Well, love me, damn it, the way I am. Because I'm not changing. Nor am I asking you to change. Well, thank you for coming to my website and listening to me ramble on about life. That's why I haven't been coming on, because I haven't had anything pertinent to say. For those of you that listen to me on a regular basis, I would love to hear from you. My telephone number is area code 323-791-6057. That's my cell phone number. You can call me wherever you are from in the world, and I would talk with you. And remember this, you are entitled to your opinion. If you're calling to try to tell me how to frame my reference, I will ask you to swiftly KMA. You know what that means, right? Kiss my ass, because I'm not looking for you to tell me anything. I'm trying to get you to live your life, because looking at the police, they can't protect you. They're not going to rush in a room with 14-year-olds getting their literal brains blown out, and they have weaponry. Have you seen the pictures on the news today? Running up and down the clean hallway in their beautiful little green uniforms with their high-powered weapons. Oh, don't go in there. You may get shot. You may get shot. That's why the city pay you all that damn money. You may get shot. You're supposed to get shot. You're a policeman. I have never heard of so much ridiculous bullcrap in this country in my life. If you don't want to get shot, don't become a cop. There are insane people like that fool that shot them babies. Insane people out there need to be put out of their misery, like I told you earlier, that man did in that state back east. The private citizen put the shooter. The private citizen, damn it, did what the cops couldn't do. We are living in perilous times. This is John Coleman in Los Angeles saying, God bless.